So what we are finishing is this study how the Mosaic Law leads to eschatology, how it points ahead. And last week we covered the first four points. We're going to do the second five this morning. And so briefly, the first four points were the Mosaic Law was uniquely given to Israel to govern their life in the land. It was uniquely for them. It didn't apply to nations who were not Israel. And so, and we looked at number two, that the law was a unit. The law was simply considered the entire law. You were either under the entire law or you weren't. Third, we looked at the law was a works arrangement that Israel said was a burden. But the purpose of that burden was to drive them to Christ, to put their faith in someone who can obey in their place. Fourthly, we saw that the Mosaic Law was not God's ideal ethics, but ethics for a hard-hearted people in the Old Covenant, as Jesus points out when it came to divorce, that those provisions were because they were a hard-hearted people. They weren't ideal. And then we talked about not looking at the Mosaic Law as God's ideal, as if the law supports things that we talked about, A, B, and C. It's simply the way things were, and they weren't at a place in redemptive history to give God's ideal. And then four, we talked about how that the Mosaic Law was typological of the ethics of the kingdom of heaven, or our ethics. So we talked about when it comes to God's standards, God's law, it started before anything was written with the moral law and the conscience. Abraham, Joseph, before the law came to Israel, they all knew basic right and wrong. And so we talked about how Joseph knew adultery was wrong, but there was no law that said, thou shalt not commit adultery. Well, how did he know it was wrong? Because God puts the moral, his moral law on the conscience at creation. So everybody knows right and wrong based on God's moral law. The law of Israel came on top of that to govern their life in Israel, and it was a covenant with Israel. So the moral law continues, but as far as their life in the land, that was the law of Moses. And that law typified the law of the new covenant kingdom. You have old Israel, new Israel. And so that's where we ended with number four. So we'll pick up now with number five. Number five is we are not under the Mosaic Law in the new covenant. That's a basic statement. And somebody read these verses, be ready. Romans 7, 1 and 2. And so Paul is using an illustration of the death of the law is like the death of a husband. You're no longer bound to the husband if he's dead. And now that the new covenant has come, the relationship with Israel is gone. So you're not bound to the Mosaic Law is the point. And then Galatians 3, 24 and 25. So we're no longer under the guardian. The Mosaic Law was called a guardian. We talked about last week that was a disciplinarian. The Mosaic Law always told you what you're doing wrong, but it couldn't save you. So we're no longer under that guardian now that Christ has come. And Galatians 5, 1, and you see in that passage, it's freedom from the Mosaic Law. And then Hebrews 8, 13. So the old covenant is now obsolete with the coming of Christ. That's the word the writer, probably Paul, the writer of Hebrews uses, and that is obsolete. So that arrangement, that law that governed Israel is obsolete. We're not under the law anymore. So notice how the New Testament does not qualify it. Does not say, well, we're sort of under the law, we're kind of under the law, or we're under certain of the Mosaic laws. Simply when it talks about the Mosaic Law, and that's what the law means in those places, it doesn't mean we don't follow the moral law anymore. It means we're not under the Mosaic Law anymore. It's now obsolete. And there's no qualifications in that. And so it's not, well, we're under it in our Christian life. We still have to follow all the laws of Moses. but we're not under it to be saved. Paul didn't say that. He simply says, we're not under the law anymore. And so they wouldn't have made all these qualifications that Paul wasn't making. That's number five. Number six is Jesus fulfills the Mosaic law for us. We said that in Deuteronomy 28, if Israel didn't obey the law, they were cursed. So that showed them to be saved, to be righteous, someone has to obey the law for them because they cannot do it. So Christ comes and fulfills this law, and he takes their curse. And so they did do the law in Christ, right? We do the law in Christ. In other words, the law, Christ does it for us as our representative. And so in the temptations, that's the point. Jesus is in the wilderness, and he's tempted three times, and each time he quotes from what book? Deuteronomy. He quotes what Israel was supposed to do. And so Israel was tempted in the wilderness and failed. Jesus is tempted, and he quotes the book of Deuteronomy as one who's now fulfilling the law. Israel was supposed to not tempt the Lord. Jesus says, I will not tempt the Lord. Israel was supposed to live off every word coming out of God's mouth. Jesus lives out of every word coming out of the Father's mouth. So he fulfills the law, because the law of Moses says, if you want to live, you must obey the law. Jesus does it for us. Hebrews 10, 8 through 10. So Christ does away the Mosaic law, but in it he says, I have come to do your will. In other words, I have come to obey in the place of my people. They cannot do it. Somebody needs to obey God. And so Christ does it for us. Matthew 5, 17, well-known passage. Okay, so Christ says, I have come to fulfill the law. He's not coming to establish the law as everybody's law forever. He's coming to do what it requires. He's coming to obey it. That's what it means to fulfill it, to do what it requires on our behalf. So Christ fulfills the law for us. Any questions, thoughts? You're all with me? You're with me with no coffee. Very impressive. So. All right, number seven. Then it raises the question, if we're not under the Mosaic law anymore, what laws do we follow in the new covenant? What are our standards? How do we obey God at all? What are the commandments? And in the new covenant, our standards or our commandments are called the law of Christ. And that's not the same thing as the Mosaic law. It's not even the same thing as the moral law, though it includes the moral law, but it goes beyond it, because it's all based on what Christ has done. So, for example, Jesus says, a new commandment I leave with you, love one another. Now, that raises a question if you're a student of the Bible. What's the question? Well, before that, what's the first part? A new commandment. What's the problem with that? It's not new. Okay, under the law of Moses, it said, love one another. Right? So how is it new if it was in the Mosaic law? What's new about it? Love one another. How does it end? As I have loved you. Now it's based on what Christ has come and did, what he did for us. They weren't there yet. They didn't know the extent of God's love, did they? They didn't understand that God would actually come down as a man and go to the cross. So now it's based on what Christ has done. And as you guys said, it's universal as far as outside of Israel. And the Spirit is in us to enable us to love as Christ loved. So it's new because of you're on this side. Now you know what he's done. That wouldn't have made much sense to say to Israel, love one another as Christ has loved you. They would have said, what does that mean? They don't even know. That wouldn't make any sense. So it's also called in James 1:25 the law of liberty. Why is it called the law of liberty? What did the law of Moses do? It enslaved people, right? Romans 7, when the law came, I died. It killed me. It only showed me my guilt. Why would the commands in the new covenant be called the law of liberty? Yeah, we've been set free from the curse of the law, from the curse of sin. The curse of the law doesn't apply to us. Why not? Because Christ already took the curse. He paid it. So now it's the law of liberty. And again, in 1 Corinthians 9:21, it's called the law of Christ. So our Christian life, the way we respond, the way we live, is based on Christ's sacrifice on the cross for us, right? Love one another as I have loved you. And so another way to say this is we don't get our law from the hand of Moses. We get our law from the hand of Jesus. Now, if there's any carryover from the Mosaic law, it'll probably be carryover from the moral law too, right? So I don't have to be told every detail of right and wrong in the new covenant. Most of that's written on our hearts anyways. We already know. But much of the law is beyond that. It's based on what Christ has done. So it's not simply the moral law that everybody knows. For example, non-Christians don't know about laws that commands that only apply to believers. A believer is to marry a believer in the Lord, right? Does that apply to unbelievers? No, that wouldn't make sense for them. So that's not the moral law. That's a law for Christians. And so we have the law of Christ. And as we say in number 7, it is the live and do this principle, not the do this and live principle. Have you heard that before? The law of Moses said, do this and then live in the land. The law of Christ says, I give you life. You're free. You're saved. You're mine. Not based on law. I fulfilled it. Now, do this. And so the law does not come in the new covenant with a threat that says, if you don't obey me, you're cursed. The law comes with, now you're free to obey me because I've already taken the curse and now I've given you the Holy Spirit to enable you to obey me. But when we disobey, we're not back under a curse, right? Because we all sin every day. So we're still under grace. So it's the new covenant, the law of Christ, and it's the law of the kingdom of heaven. Remember, we said Israel had certain laws governing them, but Christ cares much more about inwardly, not just what governed them outwardly. We talked about that last week. So the new covenant, the commands are very much based first on the heart, right? And then the actions. Israel was only governed by actions, not by the heart. The Mosaic law did not have any punishments for matters of the heart. But in the new covenant, God cares about the heart, and he's given us the Spirit in order to change our hearts. So if people ask you, what law are we under as Christians? What is our standard? And our standard is the commands of the new covenant. That makes sense? What the Bible calls the law of liberty or the law of Christ. That's our standard, not the Mosaic law. Number 8, in the new covenant we are sanctified by grace, not by law. The way we grow in obedience as Christians is to grow and hear about the grace of God in the gospel. And so, for example, I just put the first part, Galatians 3, 2 and 3. Somebody read that. Then someone turned to Romans, it's not 15, 16, 25. Galatians 3, 2 and 3. So we don't grow as Christians by trying our best to obey every law. We grow as Christians by hearing with faith of the gospel. And what happens when we hear the gospel? Our hearts grow in our love for Christ, and what's the result of that? We want to obey God, right? We want to obey because of what he's done for us. It's the love of Christ which compels us. And so, preaching shouldn't be me giving you a list of laws every Sunday you must obey. preaching should be preaching the gospel. And then if there's a response in the passage, why we do this. This is how we show our love for God, what he's done for us. But what motivates our life is the gospel. It's what Christ has done. Romans 16, 25. So how are we strengthened? The preaching of the gospel, the preaching of Christ strengthens us. And so instead of sanctification is all up to you, you have to just give it the old college try and be more committed than everyone else and do all these things. We come and hear about Christ. And then God takes that by his Spirit and he grows us to want to obey him. It's the preaching of Christ, it says, that strengthens you. And then Titus 2:11. So in verse 12, what trains us to have self-control and live godly lives? What trains us? What's the reference of? Yes, someone say it. The grace of God in verse 11 trains us to live self-controlled godly lives. Isn't that interesting? It's not the law. It's the gospel. It's the grace of God that trains us. And so again, the new covenant is we hear about Christ and his Spirit in us inflames our hearts to want to serve him, not sort of threatening you. You ever been in sermons where you're always being threatened? That's not the new covenant. All right, that's putting you back under, that's like Nehemiah, you know, beating your head and pulling your hair. And we hear about Christ, and if you're a believer, then you're drawn to him. You're strengthened, and then you're able to obey during the week. That doesn't mean we don't preach imperatives. We preach what the new covenant says, how we glorify God now that he saved us. But the motivation where it comes from will always be the gospel. It won't be the fear of the law for a Christian. And so Paul says in Galatians, is it the works of the flesh? Is it your own efforts that you're growing in Christ? Or is it hearing with faith, even to Christians? So we are sanctified by the grace of God, not by law. Law is only a response to being sanctified by grace. And then 9, how do we know what to take from Moses ethically? How do we know what continues in the new covenant? Well, the New Testament interprets the Old Testament. So as we said before, stealing, lying, adultery, fornication, homosexuality, all these things are listed again in the new covenant as things that displease God. So we know that we see these things, we know they are under the moral law, we see them mentioned in Moses. Now we're not under the law, so any type of punishment or any type of civil code, we're not under. But anything that continues as a standard of right and wrong continues in the new covenant. That's how we know. Now we need to make sure it's in the New Testament, because that's the covenant we're under, the new covenant. So for example, Israel was told to have what's called cities of refuge. Anyone remember what that was? What's a city of refuge? Yeah, if you've accidentally killed somebody, you were to go to a city, and that was a city you had sanctuary. Remember those old movies, Sanctuary, where they would yell sanctuary? You had sanctuary in, where the avenging relative thinks you murdered on purpose. Now, in the New Testament, that law is not rescinded. So are we still, should we still be making cities of refuge today? No, because we see what the New Covenant says about the Christian life. We assume right away we're not under the law. Another one would be levirate marriage. What's levirate marriage? You're going to be really glad we're not under this one, by the way. Yeah, if a man dies, then if you're unmarried, you marry the wife. The brother marries the wife. That's how you take care of him. Now, that's not rescinded in the New Testament either. It doesn't say we're not to do it. How do we know that we shouldn't continue that? We're under a new covenant. We're not under the law. That's the starting point. We're under the law of Christ. Is that in the new covenant? No, it's part of the law of Moses. It's not the law that continues on. So yeah, if you take the route called theonomy, which assumes if it's not mentioned, it continues, you get some weird stuff going on that you have to continue. That is just not mentioned. And if you say, well, that wasn't moral, well, they thought that was moral. Taking care of a wife without a husband, that sounds moral to me. They didn't make those distinctions. So we always go to the New Testament for our standards, for our commands. And we make sure that if we're going to take from the old, that we see it again in the new. So the distinction is individually you're always saved by the gospel. But the Mosaic Law was for a specific time, for a specific people that put them under a works arrangement. So that's the continuity then would be with the moral law that we see through all this that continues. All right, any questions on the law? You're all theologians now. And where it fits eschatology is that we are in the kingdom of heaven now. There are no more types and pictures. We do things like we do in heaven. I mean, this is the law that governs us because we've already been accepted into heaven. We are citizens of heaven now, aren't we, in Christ? And so in heaven, they're not trying to work their way to God, are they? They're already accepted. All righty. Well, let's pray and then... Oh, let me just say, next week is our last week of the year. We're going to look at the book of Esther. I'm going to show you the eschatology of Esther, which is, it's written in a very fascinating way, as you'll see. So let's pray.